To be a winemaker, you need to be a little bit crazy.
Pinot Noir, it's not going to knock your socks off, but it's going to seduce you. It's going to slip your socks off.
When you've got the basic fruit intensity in the wine itself, they're the wines that are going to age very well.
For my family, Moscato is in our DNA.
It is only Barbera, this wine. Why it is so expensive? Because it's very good wine.
We make a white Barbera, which is called Carica l'Asino, which, by the way, means load the donkey, and we don't know why.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 260. This week's program is The Agricultural Labor Shortage, Part 2. The Agriculture Labor Shortage, Part 2. It's no secret that labor within the agriculture industry is becoming scarce. The wine business is all about farming, and the labor problem is not going away. For this program, we talk to five wine professionals who are impacted directly by this concern. We start off with Vineyard Manager Jesus Gonzalez of Number One Vineyard Management in Napa Valley. Next, we spoke with Pam Starr, winemaker and co-owner of Crocker and Starr Winery in Napa Valley. Winemaker Elias Fernandez of Schaefer Vineyards, also in Napa Valley, continues and is followed by Brian Maloney, winemaker for Sonoma's Buena Vista Winery. For the final interview, we talked with cellar master Ian McClellan of Annabelle Winery in Sonoma. And continuing our podcast in regard to the labor shortage, we're in Napa Valley and we're here with Jesus Gonzalez, Number One Management. Jesus is a vineyard manager and keeps pretty darn busy. How many acres are you managing right now?
Right now, I'm managing 135 acreage from Mountain Peak Vineyards. So that includes the Acumen, New Label, and the Valley. And another probably around 100 more acres combined with Chapelet Vineyards, Pina Vineyard Management, Odette, Plum Jack, those are some of my clients so far.
You work with some pretty major wineries.
Yeah, I got the honor to work with them. That's an honor for me to be part of their projects. I mean, talking about those really nice names, really nice people.
When you and I last met, which I believe was back in spring, we talked about the labor shortage issues and how it affects you, how it affects people who are coming here from Mexico to do the work, how it affects you as a manager. I want to talk about these acres that you're managing right now just to give our listeners a little bit more of an insight to how you do this. So my first question is, considering all these different clients you work with, and especially Mountain Peak being so big, is this the same crew or are they all different crews that work these spaces?
We try to keep the same people most of the times. Right now, with the problem with the short people on the valley, we had to deal with different people sometimes. We try to keep ours the same crews so we don't have to keep teaching how they want to do their jobs. But these years, I don't think it's going to be possible. We're going to keep probably 50-60% of the same people, but you have to deal with the other 40% of the persons because we are so short in the valley.
Do you have an issue with some of your employees that have a certain degree of nervousness leaving, going, the ones that are from Mexico, to go back home and being concerned about being able to get back?
Yeah, totally. And I think right now they're even more concerned about crossing the border because now they have a lot of not good situation in the border because it's getting dangerous and dangerous for them to cross the border. Not only with immigration, it's more about some other issues in the border.
Well, I think we know what you're talking about when you say other issues, and that's something people don't talk about.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
That's really scary. It's really scary. But that's the reality right now on the border.
And in the end, these are simply people who are trying to work for a living, make a wage, and survive.
I believe it's 99% of the people, they're looking for work to have a better life, not to come to U.S. and make troubles. We need to find some solutions with the government, how we can bring more people to do the labor. But I don't know if the government is going to help to do that. But it's going to be tough and worse.
I would agree from what I understand. Do you have an average age of your workers, or is it pretty well spread out?
It's probably from 22 to 45.
Okay, so you do have some millennials work for you, the younger ones.
Yeah.
We've been talking to a number of people, and they say that they say they've had issues with some younger people. And I'm not trying to judge all younger people here, but some of them, simply enough, they get into a job where they have to work, where obviously what you do is very physical, that they'll work for a week or two and say, gotta go, I'll walk out. Not unusual. Have you experienced that at all?
Not really, because I think, I'm going to say I'm pretty lucky with the guys I hire, because they are old enough to find out if that's the type of job they want to do, or at least they can work the whole year, and then if they don't like it, they can move out and do something else. But usually you get those troubles, it's more when you got 18, 19 years, 20 years old. Yeah, I get it, because they're not what they expect. That's because being working in the vineyards, it's hard. Being working in the winery, it's hard. I mean, it's hard work.
And it's dangerous too.
A little bit. But you enjoy a lot to be outside free.
That's the best part, is you do get to be outside. That's such an exceptional job.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Here in California, generally you're going to get better weather.
Yes, yeah. And I know it's hard because the weather condition. Now I'm thinking from now and 15 years from now, it's going to be kind of disaster in agriculture. Because from now and 15 years later, it's going to be like really short labor. Right now, we have to take care of the people we got right now.
Do you think here in America that one of the big problems here is Americans take agriculture for granted because it's invisible to them, even though they see it everywhere?
Yes, I think so. I think a lot of people, they think agriculture is not that important, but let's think about what we got every day in our tables. Without those hands, I don't know how we can bring food and drink to our tables.
How about mechanization? Are you involved in any way, shape, or form in mechanized picking?
Yeah, we do. I kind of like the machines. I respect the machines. But I think if you want to have really high quality, nothing like hand. That's why I'm insist to take care of our employees. Take care of our employees, I think, is number one issue we have to take care of. Take care of our employees, make them happy so they can come happy every day.
Are you able to hang on to your employees, generally speaking?
Yes.
That's an important point.
That's my priority for me. It's keep them happy. Try to find ways to make them like, I got to work. I got a job. I got to support my family. So it's day by day. Day by day, let them know, thanks them, what they're doing. Let them know they're hard workers, instead of just ignore them.
So do you have a plan for the future? I mean, you're a business owner, I'm sure you have a plan, but are you looking to the next couple of years with the dilemma you have at your hands, other ideas of how you might be able to recruit people or going about it differently?
I don't have no plans. I still believe in people. I still believe if I take care good people, I'm going to have people all the time. So I don't have any plans. I believe in machines, yes, but we got to take care of our people. Other way, you screwed up, you're out.
That's a great answer. One more thing I want to talk about briefly, and that is the fire and how it affected you You are the guys, and I say you representing your workers, were on the front lines of getting the job done before the fires in Napa consumed everything. Even though they maybe didn't burn the vineyards, you still had to protect yourselves. That had to put you really on the spot as a guy who owns a company. You're responsible.
Yeah, that was pretty scary. After the fire, we was harvesting that night. When we see the fires, we see the big flames. And I feel happy because I bring everyone down safe. That was number one. We wanna do that. Six of my guys, we had to bring the CHP helicopter to get them, because when six of the guys, when they were trying to get down, was already late. But we get some vineyards, some vines damaged. Thanks God, not one of our employees get hurt. So that's pretty amazing. And that was not good experience, because it was pretty dangerous. But we success pretty good so far.
There had to be a moment when you saw those flames where you thought, I have got to get out of here. I mean, again, you're responsible for people, but you're family man too.
Yeah, I was looking the fire when we was harvesting, and I thought it will be only a small fire like past years. And then 30 minutes later, I see the entire hill get in flames, getting burned, everything. And I was having my family there because I live in the property. And I see all my guys, and I make a quick plan, like, guys, follow me, every single one, and let's see if we can get out. Let's see what we can do. So I get my family and all my workers, and everyone was just behind me. Thanks God. I just tell them, just follow me, don't stop. If I made it, you guys gonna make it. So when we get down to from the hill, I turn my head back and I see, wow, how we made it? I don't know, but after I call everyone, make sure everyone was at their homes, that's when I went to bed. I won't go to bed until I find out everyone was safe in their house. But thanks God, we made it.
Jesus, you're a good man. I'm impressed. Congratulations for getting everybody off. And I hope you guys had a good harvest in the long run.
Yeah, well, that was a really busy last days of harvest, because after the fires, everyone wants to harvest. But we made it. And I think the winemakers, they're going to make us such a good wines, even with all these fire issues. I know they professionals and they know what to do. And we're just supporting them, bring a good fruit so they can make such a great wines and keep enjoying our good wines.
So Jesus, if anybody would like to find out about you and your services, as well as maybe just to learn a little bit about you, where would they go on the web? What's your web address?
Yeah, they can go up in number1vineyardmanagement.com. They can find me over there. My phone is 707-287-5313, and we are here to support Napa Valley.
Jesus, it's always a pleasure to sit down and talk with you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure for me too, to share what I think. Thank you. Thank you.
We're here with Pam Starr of Crocker & Starr. Pam, good to see you again.
Hi, Reg. Great to see you too. Thanks for having me today.
I'm always happy to be here with you. We were talking about the labor issue before. Give me your perspective as a owner, as a partner, as a farmer, as a person who wears a lot of hats.
Yes, as the captain and the dishwasher and the creator. Yeah, banking.
Dog wrangler.
Dog wrangler. The labor issue is real. I don't think that I expected the labor issue to affect our little community here in Napa or St. Helena or just here at Crocker & Starr for another couple of years. But it hit this year. we needed some extra hands at harvest, and our vineyard guys had harder time getting their family and friends here when we needed them. So I think the labor issue is here and it's real. We're not the only industry affected by it, but I feel very grateful that I created a winery that can be almost semi-automatically run. So we don't need that many hands, but I think picking the grapes, we're still a cut-by-hand harvest estate, and I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Okay, good answer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As our listeners know, we're at a working winery, so we have a tractor going by. Tractors, dogs.
We like tractors and dogs. They're all
tractors
good.
Tractors are good, actually. They're fun.
Yeah, they're going to pick up a big cast iron fire pit for us right now.
Do you see this as being a hugely political issue for you? Is this the kind of thing where, hello, Washington, are you listening? We need you to start paying attention to the farming industry, where our problems come from.
I don't know that our voice will go as far as Washington. It would be nice if we had acknowledgement nationally and internationally that this is an agricultural business, and whoever comes to help us in farming should be automatically given a license to live and work here. And I believe that the work is honest work. It's real work. It's satisfying work. Makes that glass of wine go down at the end of the day so easy. But I believe it's time for us to get a reality check on the folks that want to get their hands into the soils and find that at the end of the day that they're safe.
Excellent answer. Thank you. For our listeners to come see your new winery or to learn about you online, how would they do that?
I would love for everyone to come and see what we've built here over the past 21 harvests. We are in St. Helena, and the way that you can visit is by appointment only, just because we're a very small nest of people. And you can call us at the farmhouse, 707-967-9111, or you can go online to our website, crockerstar.com, crockerstar.com, and you might see Griffin when you're here, who's happily shaking behind us. And we have a wine dog book, so you can always take home a little memento of seeing Griffin as well. So we love having people here. We have a very special program where we touch the vines and taste the wines. It's a program that I wanted to share with people what it's like to be sort of the inside person of what a winemaker sees.
Very cool. Pam, thanks very much.
It's always good to see you. Come back soon, Ray.
I will.
Okay.
We're here with Elias Fernandez of Schaefer Vineyards, and Elias is, of course, the winemaker here. And so here at Schaefer, you're right on the Silverado Trail. You're right in the heart of Napa Valley. How is this affecting you? Is it affecting you in any way?
At this point, it has not, but we're preparing for it. We know there will be a shortage. Fortunately enough, this harvest was slow. So we didn't feel the crunch, you know, at harvest time where everybody needed to pick at the same time. And so that meant, you know, you might have felt it. So it was a little bit calmer, which was a good thing. But we're preparing for it. One of the things that's happening a lot is a mechanical stuff is being implemented and studied in the vineyard. I know the future is going that way. And this is forcing us to speed that up. You know, we bought our first automated deleafer. We used to do that all by hand, but we bought our first one just to test it out and see how it works and so forth, and how it saves on labor and so forth. You know, there's other automated stuff that's, you know, been used by a lot of the larger wineries and stuff. But here we're just kind of slowly looking and see, you know, just to be prepared. You know.
Sure. Well, you guys have always kind of been ahead of the curve for a lot of people, especially, gosh, back to days when you started with the video sorter. That was pretty darn amazing.
Yeah.
And really expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. In 2011, we implemented that individual berry sorting machine, you know, high-speed camera, belt, computer, sort every little berry out, you know, that you don't want. That's pretty cool.
It's amazing technology.
Yeah.
But to the point of the mechanical harvesting, in the end, I mean, probably not going to see any mechanical harvesting on hillsides, I would think.
No, I mean, although in Europe, they do a lot of stuff on hills, you know, with mechanical and stuff like that. So we'll see if that equipment comes here. Of course, you know, knowing us, we don't jump into things real fast. We do things slowly, make sure it doesn't affect the quality of the wine, because quality is the number one, you know, importance here.
Great. Elias, for our listeners who'd like to learn a little bit more about you and Schaefer Vineyards, how would they do that?
Well, they can go to our website, you know, www.schaefervineyards.com, and all the info is there.
Right. And to come visit here, people would have to call. This is by appointment, as
yeah, we're by appointment only, Monday through Friday. A lot of people try to make appointments on the weekends, and unfortunately, we're not open on the weekends. We're fortunate that way. So Monday through Friday, and, you know, you're welcome to come in, to walk in, to purchase wine. But to taste, sit down and taste, you need to make an appointment, yeah.
Well, thanks for spending your time talking about the labor shortage.
My pleasure, anytime.
We're in Sonoma County, and we're here with winemaker Brian Maloney from Buena Vista Winery. Again, a very, very old winery, a lot of history, owned by Jean-Charles Posse. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Great. Again, the question we've been posing to winemakers, you're the guys in the trenches. What's your situation in terms of labor? Are you having kind of issues having people in the vineyard, in the cellar, whatever it be?
It's yes, without a doubt. The labor crunch has been building for the last few years. This year, it probably has reached the highest level in terms of difficulty finding individuals to work both in the fields as well as in the cellars. The cost of labor is going up. And what we've seen is, you know, especially out in the vineyards, a greater input of mechanization in terms of what we're doing. We work with vineyards throughout Sonoma County, as well as some in the Napa Valley. And every single new vineyard that's getting put in these days is getting put in with the idea that it's going to have to be mechanically harvested at some point in its life. We've been able to avoid that for most of our vintages. This past 2017 is the first year where almost half of our Carneros appellated fruit is mechanically picked. And that was strictly a labor savings, essentially. Finding crews was very, very difficult. And so we knew going in that's what we were going to be looking at. There's some great technological innovations in terms of the methods that are used with mechanical picking at the same time, especially, you know, for me as a winemaker working with Chardonnay, something I want to avoid with Pinot Noir, something I want to avoid. Yeah. I want those clusters as intact as possible. But it was a reality of what's going on in the market. What's going on in the vineyard is being mirrored in the winery. And the winery, during the harvest is when we need the highest labor, of course. And during the rest of the year, we usually can get by with a smaller crew of full-time individuals. What we've done the past few years, really starting in 2013, is relying more and more on international interns. That is not always a reliable supply, though. Especially because we have to help them find transportation, have to help them find housing, and those aren't always easy things, especially I'm very fearful what next year is going to look like, especially in Sonoma County with almost 5% of the houses in Santa Rosa being gone. What's that going to mean for trying to bring people in from overseas to find a place to stay? We're going to have to, you know, figure out different ways to do it. And so one of the ways we are adapting to this is, again, in the winery, looking at places where automation can take over. That's a lot harder on the winemaking side. You know, we already utilize, you know, mechanical destemmers. A lot of it is coming down to, you know, sorting lines and things like that, where you can start reducing people. And so one of the investments we're looking at is a mechanical sorting device where it uses cameras to identify fruit. Works in some fruit situations, doesn't work in everything.
I think you brought up a really significant point, and the people I've talked to about this issue with labor shortage never occurred to me about all the housing that is gone right now. That puts so much more pressure on you as a winemaker to try and figure out, how do I solve this problem?
We've, you know, the past few years been very lucky to, you know, find people who have that open granny unit or a couple bedrooms open. But it's one of the fears I have going for this next year. And we'll see how we can get it done. Everyone who's got a guest bedroom, let us know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll leave that in. One other point about the labor issue and mechanical harvesters. Now, from what I've heard, generally speaking, Hillside's somewhat out of the question. Do you see them being able to solve that problem? I know so many things in technology get solved, but...
Yeah, the most common ones that are being used in California today, in Sonoma County and Napa today, are not Hillside capable. I know there's been developments with, I've seen videos of them being used in Germany where they essentially have kind of like a split axle and they're able to work on terraced hillsides. I have not seen one that's able to go down a really steep hillside yet, though. I'm sure they're working on that, because this labor shortage in the California wine industry is something Europe has been facing for many years. We'll see if it happens. One of the benefits of, you know, at least having some increase in mechanical pickers is it is going to alleviate some of that crush for everyone. And so I still think you're going to see, you know, especially that high-end bottle wine being hand-picked, it's just going to be harder and harder for kind of those marginal areas. You know, one of the kind of the tragedies with this is there's some great kind of lesser known regions in Sonoma, in Mendocino and Lake County, where you can still get a pretty nice bottle of wine for, you know, 20, 30 bucks. I mean, like a really, like, this should be much more money, but because it's not in that, you know, top flight, you know, sure, Howl Mountain, those people are the ones that we're really seeing a lot more strain on. Where a couple years ago, getting pickers was, you know, maybe a little bit of a challenge, but they got it done. This was the year where we were giving people 10-day windows to be able to get their fruit off, because it was just, I don't know when I'm going to be able to have that crew. And when I have that crew, I need to get it done. So winemakers are adapting, growers are adapting. Our goal is to make great wines, and we're going to find a way around it. It's just, it's going to be a struggle.
Just like everything in the industry that changes. Before I let you go, though, for our listeners who want to learn about Buena Vista online, how would they do that?
Well, the best is to come to our website, BuenaVistaWinery.com. And there is a tremendous amount of information right there about the history of Buena Vista, about the history of the count, how to come visit, where to find our wines, of course. And there's a lot of stories out there about Buena Vista. There's a lot of interesting things that have happened historically here. And so I highly recommend going to Buena Vista and reading a little bit about the winery.
Is this by appointment, or could people just wander on in?
So the general tasting room is open daily to the public. We have some great experiences, though, especially in the champagne cellars, that are open only by appointment. And so that's something that's easy enough to schedule if you go to the website or call into the winery. But, you know, it allows you to taste in those cellars, to see the historic wine tool museum, which explains a lot about the history of California winemaking, as well as Buena Vista's history and winemaking in general. And then for those of you who really like bubbles, we have a fantastic sparkling wine lounge that it'll make you wide-eyed when you walk into it. So please come and experience all Buena Vista has to offer.
Brian, these are great insights. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Of course. Happy to.
I'm here with Ian McClellan. Ian is the cellar master at Annabelle Wines here in Sonoma. Good to see you. California, the agriculture business in general, is suffering from a labor shortage. You're a cellar master, so you're working with people. How many people do you work with here in the cellar that work underneath you?
Sure. So there is 4 full-time employees. So me and the production manager and the 2 other cellar workers. And then we typically hire, or we would like to hire, 5 to 6 interns every harvest.
They're paid interns?
Yes, absolutely.
So you like to hire. I mean, I clearly see this on your face. You're having a problem getting people
harvest. Yes. Yeah.
Why? What's the problem as you see it?
I mean, I'm not sure. It seems like, so we typically love to, I mean, we'd love to hire anybody that wants to work in the wine industry that has a passion or a drive to work with wine and work with grapes. And in the past, it's been really easy to find a lot of international people from all over the world to come work in the winery. And this year, that seems to have been much more difficult for whatever reason. The way we typically hire people is through our overseas agricultural internship programs, such as MAST or CAEP, and those are being like blood dry these days. It seems like we could only find 2 people, and typically we're like flooded with internships. Actually, we offer jobs to probably 7 or 8 people that got their visas declined through this program, and I don't know why that was happening. But then also, I mean, just in general, every winery around here has been having trouble finding interns. It's never been this hard before.
Yeah.
There was always a pool of people, sure, wanting to come here to work in the wine industry. There's like, that hasn't changed. People want to come here and work with wine and work work here. And all of a sudden, we can't get them here. So.
This is probably a bad question, but I'll ask it anyway. I've had a couple of people tell me, younger people, that some miners have a harder time getting younger people. It's half the idea is just simply getting their hands dirty, doing the physical labor. Have you run into that too? Or?
It's funny. We always tell people, like, hey, that's the first thing I'm telling. Your 90% of your job is cleaning. You're basically a glorified janitor here in the winery. Yeah, sure. Like, that's what we do. We clean. And people are always like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then they get into the cellar, and it's not quite as glamorous as they originally imagined. They'll be like, we'll provide you rubber boots. Why would I need rubber boots?
That's always... This is the lifeblood of a winery, because without bodies, especially when it comes to harvest, when the grapes say, we're ready to be picked, you can't mess around. You got to be there.
Sure.
And then you here in the cellar have to be ready to process for the people who are in the vineyards. This is all, you know, an ABCD operation.
Yeah. And you can't, it's a logistical maze, or the grapes come in when they're ready. When the winemakers decide they're ready. This year, we had over half of our production come in within 10 days. Wow. We do 250 tons here. 130 tons came in 10 days. That's crazy. There was a heat wave right at the beginning of September, end of August, and everybody around here just were like, well, at least in the Sonoma Coast region, was like, we could pick. So we were at capacity. We were literally about to borrow tanks from other people in the area. Thankfully, we were like down to our last tea bin.
It's kind of a great irony here too, though. Maybe that heat wave helped you when you consider the fire was coming and you were able to get everything off the vines.
Yeah, that's true. We actually 100% of Annaba's production was in before the fires, and 90% of everybody else's around here was in before the fires as well. We did have a couple lots of Cabernet and Merlot still hanging on the vines for some of our clients that they decided not to pick. And then also, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre that were hanging that we didn't pick either for Annaba because of the fires. But for the most part, like, it's going to be a good vintage. Like, this is, the wine is tasting amazing right now. Nice. There's no reason to think that 2017 is going to be a screwed up vintage. And I think that that is a rumor, a myth that's being spread around a lot right now. Like, oh, 2017's messed up. No, it's fine.
Do you have any idea of any solution to it? Is there something in your head that you think about that might help make this a little easier for people?
Yeah, I think we need to get the J-1 visas, more J-1 visas. That's what, it's the student training visa that most... international interns come in on. There's a reason that's being limited. There was one of the 9/11 attackers that was on a J-1 visa, and that's why it's so hard to get right now. But it's not like there's a lack of local passion either. It's just, this is an industry that requires a lot of help during a certain time of the year, and it's a great place and a great way to learn about making wine. And just, like, why not get more people to come in and help and learn? I don't know. I'm not a politician.
Ian, thanks for the time. I appreciate
sure.
it. Check out our website to find contact information on all of our guests.
Thanks for listening. And remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2018.